As far as VGM contents are concerned, the contents of the VGM require certain mandatory filing. Number one, the booking number or the container number. This is mandatory. Verify gross marks, that is VGM, with the unit, either kgs or pounds. This is mandatory. Signature of the shipper or authorized person of the shipper, responsible person of the shipper. This is again mandatory. Any additional information and document required by relevant state authorities, this is of course optional. It can be a dangerous goods certificate, etc., etc. And method of weighing, whether it is method 1 or method 2, this is again an optional column. Name of the duly authorized person has got to be in capital letters in the signature field. That means the signature field should have the signature name of the person in capital letters. And each terminal may have its own local rule or practice whether to allow containers to gate in without VGM or not. Different countries can have different methodologies to be involved. It is not been made mandatory by the VGM content. Here in India, what is being followed is that the VGM certificate is required to be given prior to the gate-in. All gateway ports, compulsory shipping company will not allow gate-in. It has got to be 24 to 48 hours, depending on the shipping line, prior to the gate-in of the container. Gate-in of the container means the container moving into the gate of the wharf where the ship is being berthed and is being loaded. Should a container be accepted by the terminal following SOLAS requirements, a unit cannot load without fulfilling the VGM. Yes, in India we have accepted, the goods cannot be loaded without the VGM. Shipping lines may accept VGM information after container gate-in as long as it does not create constraints with the operational procedures. Yes, the amended regulation says shipping companies can take either way, allow gate-in and take the VGM later on. It is their option. But in India, the shipping companies are playing very safe. They are not accepting the container at all without the VGM. At the time of granting booking to an exporter for stuffing of the container, they make a mention that before you bring the container to our place, the container should operator or transporter should have the VGM weighing slip. And the VGM has got to be given to the shipping line before the container enters. This is just a format of simple VGM. A very simple VGM. I'm giving you, showing you a format over here. Second part of the format is over here. Just a suggested format so that you can understand what are the columns and where, what columns are required to be filled in. Now, as far as India is concerned, let us look at the regulatory aspect of transshipment of goods. As I explained to you previously, transshipment of goods is a part of the movement of goods for international trade. Now, the increased facilitation in all types of multimodal transportation of goods have now made transshipment of goods more broad-based. It has become very broad-based. Why? Because we see transshipment of import-export cargo or coastal goods as follows. That is, from one customs port or airport to another customs port or airport. From one customs station to another customs station, that is either a CFS or ICD in one city to a ICD CFS in another city. From one custom bonded warehouse to another custom bonded warehouse. This is movement of transship cargo, non-duty paid cargo. From one coastal station to another coastal station through a foreign territory, which I've already explained to you, or from one Indian port or airport to a foreign territory land custom station, or vice versa. These are all different types of movement of goods where transshipment of goods take place. And our Indian government, as a part of the regulatory functions, has enacted a new regulation known as Sea Cargo Manifest and Transport Regulation of 2018. Now, this regulation was enacted in 2018, but then the operational part, because it is having certain very difficult provisions involved for all concerned with international movement of goods. Very difficult provisions have been put in place. So the applicability went on delaying. First, it was delayed by 1 year. Then by the time that year was over, COVID-19 started. So further delay. Again, delay went on increasing. But finally, it has been put fully into operation in August 2022. So as of today, this particular regulation is fully operational. All exporters, importers, or handling of transshipment of international cargo or even coastal cargo have got to follow these regulations. They are mandatory. Now, the increased facilitation in multimodal transportation of goods have now made movement of goods more broad-based, and this has necessitated improving authorized carriers to perform all such functions of movement of goods. In the past, any carrier could do it, but now because the foreign leg is made as far as transshipment is concerned, even for coastal cargo. So all carriers have got to become authorized carriers, whether they are road or whether they are rail or whether they are sea. For transshipment purposes, they have got to register themselves under this SCMTR as authorized carriers. And they have got to perform all functions as per the provisions of this particular regulation. And this regulation has now made it mandatory for all carriers of import-export coastal goods by containers or vessels or trains or trucks, as also the custodians of import-export or coastal cargo, to be registered as an authorized carrier. This is where the main difficult part has brought into play. All these entities found it very difficult to register themselves as authorized carriers. There are large entities, large number of organizations which were required to register themselves, and the registration process was not very simple at all. Now, why? Because they had to perform certain specific functions. The authorized carriers are now required to deliver an arrival manifest or departure manifest electronically through ICEGATE on arriving of their vessel or train or truck carrying imported goods, export goods, and coastal goods. Now, just like foreign going vessels, ships, or airline, they were required to give export general manifest or import general manifest. Now it has been made compulsory for all authorized carriers who are registered under SCMTR. They have got to file the departure manifest and entry manifest, both electronically through iSCATE. Any application which you want to put to iSCATE, you have got to be registered with the Customs Department. Now, as far as registration is concerned, any person who is required to deliver arrival manifest or departure manifest shall apply to customs officer for registration as an authorized carrier. On the other yardstick is that if you want to carry transshipment cargo having international movement or coastal movement through international route, you have got to become an authorized carrier and you have got to deliver this arrival manifest and departure manifest. So you have got to apply for registration. If the custom officer is satisfied, he shall register the applicant and allow him to transact business for a period of 3 years initially. Of course, there's an amendment coming on this issue also by allowing them more than 3 years. Authorized carrier means an authorized sea carrier, authorized train operator, a shipping line, or a custodian who has been registered. An authorized carrier registered at any custom station shall be deemed to be registered for other custom stations also. That means any authorized carrier, if he is registered in Mumbai, automatically he is an authorized carrier also at Delhi, also at Madras, also at Cochin, etc., etc. And the custom officer shall review the registration before expiry and may extend the registration for 5 years. And in case of an authorized economic operator, I have explained in a different chapter what is authorized economic operator. For them, it is allowed for a 10-year period. Now, when a registration is to be done through a governed portal, there will definitely be certain responsibilities placed on the entity, and therefore there are responsibilities of the authorized carrier. He has got to perform certain basic minimum responsibilities. Authorized carrier shall A. transact business in the custom station either personally or through an employee who is duly approved by the assistant or deputy commissioner. That means any employee who will be performing these activities has got to be approved by the customs department. They have got to keep a record of imported goods, export goods, coastal goods, or goods brought for transshipment and produce such records to the proper officer of custom as and when required immediately. Keep a record of movement or handling of imported goods, export goods, coastal goods, or brought for transshipment. They have got to keep a record continuously for a period of 5 years. Make available truck and trace facilities. That means the movement of goods can be tracked and traced through their portal itself. For locating the import or export goods or coastal goods or goods brought for transshipment, they have to be responsible for the safety, security, and delivery of imported export goods or coastal goods when it is under its custody. And he is also liable to pay duty on goods which are pilfered, lost during transit, or transshipment. In the customs area or en route, that means the custodian of the ICD is also responsible for theft and pilferage as far as duty liability is concerned. He will be held responsible for re-export of hazardous goods where such goods are ordered to be exported back to the exported country, where clearance is not allowed and Customs Department insists that they should be re-exported out. The authorized carrier has also got to advise his clients, that is the importers, exporters, or those who are giving their goods for transportation, to comply with the provisions of the Act, and in case of non-compliance, that means importers, exporters, or their parties or agents do not comply with any provisions of the Act, then they have got to bring it to the notice of the Deputy or Assistant Commissioner of Customs within their jurisdiction. Then they cannot procure or attempt to procure directly or indirectly any information from government records or other government sources of any kind where access is not granted by the Customs Department. This is getting information which they are not required to obtain. They have to ensure the electronic transmission of delivery orders to the importer or consignee, and intimation of the same to the custodian and the proper officer of customs also. They have also got to publish and display at prominent places, including websites or web pages, of the authorized carrier their schedule of charges for the various services provided by them in relation to the imported goods, export goods, or coastal goods in the customs area. They cannot charge any rent or demurrage on the goods which have been seized or detained or confiscated by the customs authorities, because at that time the import-exporter will just put up his hands. So should they go to the customs department and say, you pay rent and charges? No, they are not allowed. They cannot charge the customs department. And above all, they have got to abide by all the provisions of the Act, the rules, regulations, notifications, and orders which are issued by the government, by the customs department, from time to time under this particular regulation. Now, as far as the regulations are concerned, when we look at transshipment, how is it allowed? What is the meaning of allowing a transshipment? There are certain basic conditions as per this regulation. The transportation shall be allowed under the following conditions, that is, the goods are mentioned in the arrival manifest or departure manifest, as the case may be, for transshipment to any customs station. That means, you know, the manifest, arrival and departure manifest, have got four different pages. One is local goods, and one is a page specifically meant for transshipment of the goods. So, EGM and IGM has got to show that these goods are meant for transshipment, and only such goods can be transshipped. And such transshipment is by a vessel, train, or a truck, or by a combination of two or more of these modes of transportation. And the authorized carrier has to execute a bond with or without bank guarantee or surety. In case where the transshipment of goods is directly between two seaports, no bond and bank guarantee shall be furnished at all. And in case of imported goods meant for transshipment by land route, The proper officer of customs shall seal the containers before permitting such transshipment by applying a RFID-based one-time lock on the container itself. A transship permit is required to be made. That permit would allow the goods to be transshipped from point A to point B. And this transshipment permit has to be filed through ICES, that is ICEGATE, and the required transit security bond is uploaded through eSanchit. No assessment is being done because goods are not liable to duty since they are moving from one custom station to another custom station. So valuation of goods is not required. Examination of the goods is done, yes. Verification on account of prohibited goods, they have got to be examined. In case of goods movement, the container or means of road transport has to be either a closed truck or a full container, and this should be affixed with the RFID-based one-time lock by the proper officer of the custom station at the custom station itself. And the RFID OTL number along with the date and time of its affixation should be endorsed on the transport document and also on this transship permit. The warehouse keeper or bond officer is required to inspect the seal, and when it is found intact, permit the goods to be unloaded at that custom station where it is required to be unloaded. Primary condition, seal has got to be checked, it is intact, verify the number with the transport document available. Delivery of an arrival manifest. The authorized sea carrier of imported goods, export goods or coastal goods shall deliver the arrival manifest to the customs officer. Of course, this is electronically, and this should contain the necessary information as follows. One, an application for entry inward, that means allowing the container to come at that point. A general declaration, vessel's store list, whatever store the vessel has got. It's same as IGM and EGM for the foreign going vessels. This is similar. List of private property in the possession of the master and crew. Then a cargo declaration. Then the vessel arriving at an Indian port from a foreign port or directly or through a designated foreign route. This has got to be declared. And any other declaration which is required to be delivered to the customs officer on arrival of the vessel. Delivery of a departure manifest. Authorized sea carrier carrying imported goods, export goods or coastal goods or goods meant for foreign transit or foreign transshipment shall, before the departure of the vessel from the port, deliver the departure manifest to the customs officer. And this will consist of a general declaration, a vessel stores list, I mean similar to arrival, departure also is similar, a list of private property in the possession of master and crew, a cargo declaration for vessel departing from an Indian port to a foreign port, or for vessel departing from Indian port to another Indian port directly or through designated foreign route, or any other declaration which is required to be delivered to the proper officer on arrival of the vessel. Certain specific cargo, there has got to be a separate declaration required to be given to the customs department in a separate format. And that cargo declaration, which is for arms, ammunition, explosives, narcotics and psychotropic substances, dangerous goods, gold, silver, radioactive material. For all types of import, export, transshipment, or for being carried as same bottom cargo also shall be delivered in separate sheets and shall set out in the order of the port of loading, that is from which port it has been loaded. A separate sheet has got to show if any such cargo is on board that particular vessel. Next that we have after this SEMTR, we have got a separate regulation, which is a very recent regulation, that is Transportation of Goods Through a Foreign Territory Regulation of 2020. Here an agreement was made under the Protocol of Inland Water Transit for Inland Highway Authorities for all transit and trade between Bangladesh and India for using of Chattogram and Mongla ports for movement of goods to and from India. These are ports in Bangladesh. So for using those ports, an agreement has been reached between the Bangladesh government and Indian government. And by virtue of this agreement, this is allowed movement of Indian goods from one port of India to another through a land route which lies partly over the territory of Bangladesh. That is basically goods moving from Kolkata, entering Bangladesh, exiting Bangladesh into Assam and other regional territories in that northeastern region. Here the carrier of the goods or their authorized agent shall file a customs transit document declaration and comply with all the requirements of this regulation. Now, I'm not going to each and every aspect of the regulation. I'm just giving you the highlights over here. The conveyance with the cargo is sealed securely with the customs one-time lock for transportation and checked and verified at the entry and exit point by the customs officer. That means when it is entering Bangladesh, the custom officer at that entry point will put a RFID-based one-time lock, record it in the customs transit declaration. And then when it is exiting from Bangladesh entering India, at that point the custom officer will again check the transit declaration, check the seals to be intact, and if it is found intact, he will remove that seal at that point of time. Next, we have got another regulation which is specifically only for Nepal cargo. You know, there is a lot of movement of cargo from Indian port to Nepal. And here, transshipment of cargo to Nepal has got to be under the Electronic Cargo Tracking System Regulation of 2019. Why? Because it has been found that goods which were shown as transshipment from Haldia Port, Kolkata Port, meant for Nepal, was being used en route somewhere by various unscrupulous people. And therefore, there is now a compulsory requirement of electronic cargo tracking system by this regulation. And this applicability is transshipment of cargo from the ports of Kolkata, Haldia and Vishakhapatnam to Birganj in Nepal by rail or to Batnaha in India by rail, and from Batna to Biratnagar in Nepal by road. These are different forms of transshipment of the cargo by rail and road combination. And here transshipment is required to be done by a technology service provider using electronic cargo tracking system. And here the authorized carrier will comply with all the requirements of the SCMTR regulation, Sea Cargo Manifest Transport Regulation for transshipment of goods to Nepal. This has now become mandatory for cargo meant for Nepal. Well, friends, thank you. Yes, you need to study, but now, when you want to enter trade, go for it. Thank you.